The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today, the far-right Supreme Court has dealt a devastating blow to our democracy and to the Voting Rights Act of 1965. They have given a green light to Donald Trump's partisan voter suppression scheme. Instead of responding to the will of the people and changing course, Trump and Republicans are trying to erode our democracy and suppress the vote to escape accountability at the ballot box. They're looking to steal the election. And we in the Congressional Black Caucus say no.
No.
We say no. Not without a fight.
As it stands, it seems as though states across the country, most notably in the South, are going to be able to rewrite their districts to essentially ensure the mass disenfranchisement of black voters by denying them the opportunity to elect their own representatives. I mean, the consequences of this ruling today could deal essentially a fatal blow to our current version of multiracial democracy. Now, more than half a century after that, the Supreme Court has done it again. They've once again intervened to pull us back towards the policies of Jim Crow.
We've gone now to where you can't even bring up race. I think that we should be color conscious and not color blind, given the history of the country.
How bad it is, a scale of 1 to 10? How catastrophic we should think of it? What if there's anything to salvage out of?
This is feeling about like a 12, Chris. It's bad. I think we have to deal head on with what has happened here and what it means.
The nation's highest court told states that they can almost never consider race when drawing congressional maps. Discrimination and chaos, once again unleashed by the nation's highest court, is where we begin the hour. I think that Trump benefits when the news feels fast and furious, but this is really one of those stories that everyone should sort of sit down, put the phone down, resist the doom scrolling, and just let it sink in that when just a piece of this was dismantled in 2013, President Barack Obama said, quote, I might not be here without this law.
This decision today by the Supreme Court is a slap in the face of those who work so hard to push our country closer to its ideals. The answer to this assault on democracy, quite frankly, is more democracy.
This is one of those weeks where I kind of anchor with a lump in my throat, right? To watch all these things that you think the country holds dear, destroyed.
This is a moral moment. What kind of nation will we be? What Donald Trump has done is saying that we should be a nation where a political party, once they have power, can actually do creatively suppressing equal rights at the ballot box and holding on to that power in anti-democratic means.
So we're standing on quicksand. We, as a democracy, are sinking. And we're doing that with the Supreme Court putting weights on our ankles. Okay, that's where we are. The Supreme Court's decision today is one of the most disingenuous legal opinions I've read in my entire life. Today, we saw a Supreme Court justice, joined by five others, twist the law, write and effectively lie on page in saying that they were doing very little. This is a catastrophe, and it has put our democracy in severe peril.
Our goal is to make sure America knows that we will march, mobilize, organize, sue, go on the floor, stay up at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning to stop things like the SAVE Act, because this is a coordinated effort and we are coordinated as well.
The U.S. relationship with Germany has taken a catastrophic turn after Chancellor Friedrich Merz made a speech earlier in the week saying that the United States was being humiliated by Iran.
It's just true.
Saying that he believes that the United States and Israel began their war on Iran on February the 28th without any kind of plan. He sees no strategy whatsoever, no strategic plan on the part of the United States to find an off-ramp to this conflict. And that, of course, is now leading directly to the president threatening to reduce the size of the American troop force. There are 36,000 American troops stationed in Germany, 6 separate garrisons, 40 separate military installations, including, of course, the Ramstein Air Base and the Coordinating Strategic Command Center in Wiesbaden. This is exactly the kind of move you would be taking, not only if you wanted to punish the German Chancellor, but if you wanted to begin the process of withdrawing from NATO.
It's a perfect storm, isn't it? You see America turning inward, screaming, bleeding heart liberals screaming over the Supreme Court decision yesterday, basically to roll back what Democrats have been doing for decades, gerrymandering districts so that they can get an advantage at the voting booth. And meanwhile, while we're consumed with our own troubles, our own problems, politics, politics at home, here you have the fight, really. It's a fight between America and Germany. And now America, as a way, you heard the commentator there, as a way to punish Germany, we're going to withdraw our troops. Yeah, this is how we'll punish Germany. People have no idea what's actually happening in the world today, or the significance. They have no idea of the significance of these events with respect to Bible prophecy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Yeah, I was going to say the last show of the week, but no, we actually have one more. Today is Thursday. The live stream of this show is at our website, thetrumpet.com, and at the YouTube channel, the Rumble channel, and also you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. So many different angles that we could go with here. Just a quick comment on the kingdom's court. Here again, you heard it here first. We were right. In the case of Germany, the resurgence of Germany, that's a resurgence we need to be talking about a lot more than the so-called religious resurgence here in America. But Herbert Armstrong was right about that. You just look at the last, well, here's he was right. You know about this brochure, recently updated. I think last November, December, one recent Trumpet magazine, decades of warnings about Germany. That was just back in February. And then, of course, the world uniting against America. You see it happening. And you also see the seeds for the coming civil war here in America. They're planted. And now race is going to be injected right back into this. Oh, yes. Donald Trump, MAGA, they're racist. You might as well throw in traitors and pedophiles as well. The mudslinging is going to continue right through the midterm elections. And, you know, you just look at what's happening in the country. And anytime, as one of our news gatherers was saying, anytime it seems that President Trump's approval rating lags a little bit, you know, then you have another incident like this past weekend. An assassination attempt. And God, of course, intervening to save the man. He intervened to save the country from being blotted out. He's definitely smacked down the radical left. And you still see, though, you still see the radical left just itching for a fight, calling for violence, hoping for civil war. And meanwhile, Germany's left alone to rebuild the war machine. And now President Trump, well, he's offended. We'll talk more about pride and humility later on the show. But, we pointed this out with respect to the Italian PM or premier, whatever they're called over there, Meloni. I mean, early on, they were best friends forever, Trump and Meloni. And it seemed that way with President Trump and Merz. But now, I mean, Merz, he criticizes Trump over Iran or whatever. And now Trump, in order to punish Germany, Yeah, we might just take our 36,000 troops out of Germany. That doesn't punish Germany. That opens the way for Germany to build another war machine. Germany tried to conquer the world twice. Just in the last century, little more than a century. Have we forgotten why U.S. troops were stationed in Germany to begin with? It wasn't just to protect Germany that had been demilitarized. It was to keep Germany down. It was to keep America in. And now America is leaving, and we're talking about it as if it's a good thing. And MAGA, of course, is all on board with this because, well, we've got so many issues here at home to worry about. Herbert W. Armstrong warned about Germany being the beating heart of Europe, the beating heart of the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. You've heard the clips before. We've played them on this show probably dozens of times. You can read about it, and he was right. He was right. The Bible says that far from being, you know, obliterated, the Nazi machine, they went underground. They didn't have a change in their mindset. It's kind of like someone said recently about the regime in Iran. The only way you can get a real and true regime change is if you change their mindset, the mullahs. That's not happened. So we can talk about, oh yeah, this one's much more moderate. They're much more reasonable. They're much easier to work with. But there's no mind change. There's no repentance. Has Germany ever repented for what it did in World War I and World War II? No. That's part of the problem. But the other part of the problem is that every U.S.-led effort to keep Germany down, to maintain a semblance of world peace, it's actually helped to accelerate the formation of the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. You can go through the Marshall Plan. You can look at the establishment of the United Nations. You can look at the NATO alliance. You can look at the common market established decades ago, and then more recently, the European Union. I mean, this all had America's backing, and all of it has helped clear the way for the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. God's word is sure. God's word is true. Everything America has done to help rebuild Germany, it's helped. You'll see this in the end. I mean, it's helped keep the Nazis in power. We can just backtrack a little bit. This is from, and you heard it in the montage there at the end, the bit about Germany. But Merz coming out and saying that, well, the U.S. doesn't really have any strategy in Iran. And, you know, President Trump didn't like that. The Trump administration didn't like to hear that. Merz was a close friend, a best friend. But don't criticize President Trump. This is clip 5.
Today, Germany's Chancellor Friedrich Merz spoke out against the U.S. strategy in the conflict in unusually strong terms. In fact, he said there is no strategy.
The Americans clearly have no strategy, and the problem with conflicts like this is always that you don't have just to go in. You also have to get out again. We saw that all too painfully in Afghanistan for 20 years. So this whole affair is, as I said, ill-considered, to say the least. At the moment, I cannot see what strategic exit the Americans are now opting for, especially as the Iranians are obviously negotiating very skillfully, or rather very skillfully not negotiating. And letting the Americans travel to Islamabad only to leave again without any results. An entire nation is being humiliated by the Iranian leadership, in particular by those so-called revolutionary guards.
I mean, a lot of what he's saying is true. On the other hand, a lot of it's kind of rich, you know. It's easy to sit on the sidelines and to criticize what America does in Iran or Afghanistan, as you heard there. It's easy to criticize America. But he's right. The mullahs are humiliating America. I mean, let's call it what it is. Back and forth to Pakistan. Yeah, we'll talk. And, well, no, we don't want to talk. Yeah, we'll make a deal. No, we're not going to make a deal. They are making the American diplomats look like fools. And then we make these statements, these crazy statements, that, well, yeah, this is actually, we're getting a moderate regime in place now. Now we can work with them. Or, to go back to the cold open, you know what? If we pull our troops out of Germany, I mean, that's our way to really punish Germany. No, actually, you punish Germany by sending more troops in. The world is, I mean, President Trump has said as much. The way the world fought war, the Western world, I guess I should say, the way that we fought wars just 150 years ago, so totally different than the way we approach war and conflict today. And now we are actually at a point where we're talking about withdrawing troops, American power, from Germany and thinking, this is a good thing. This is actually, this will hurt Germany. No, it doesn't hurt Germany. It helps Germany. It helps the Holy Roman Empire, just like NATO helps them, just like the United Nations help them. All of these alliances, you know, Herbert Armstrong used to say, be wary when you see all of these nations coming together in a show of unity. Just know that there's going to be some division and strife to come out from that. He saw it. He saw it at the United Nations from the outset. Giving a nice, impressive speech with a nice suit on, sounding very reasonable and peaceful. And then the fighting that went on behind closed doors. There's a lot of fighting that's going on behind closed doors. A lot of it's now it's out in the open. A lot of it is now out in the open. This is more from earlier this week. These are both clips and some bits here that we've got from Politico that we meant to get to earlier, but it earlier this week. But it ties in perfectly with President Trump's recent tweet. Yeah, we're looking at those troops in Germany. We're thinking about just pulling them out. We're thinking about just, you know, moving out of NATO. Let Europe go it alone. Here's clip six.
There's nothing more I could agree with. He's completely right. The Americans are wasting a historic chance for a stable and durable peace in the Middle East.
There has been a certain level of diplomacy when it comes to opposition to the U.S. and Israeli war on Iran. Do you think that this is now the correct strategy going forward to use such harsh words as were used in this statement?
It's not technically diplomatic. But to be honest, we are suffering massively from the way the Americans have fought this war. Unreflected action, it's okay to talk about it. And I'm grateful that my chancellor did.
Europe's suffering massively from the way Americans have fought this war with Iran. Yeah, it's Europe that's suffering. Now, you know, going back to what Mertz said, usually, I mean, especially him, Germany's been pretty diplomatic. They've been careful about not, you know, being too critical of America, at least when the cameras are rolling. But now, like I say, I mean, it's out in the open. And you don't want to criticize President Trump. We know this because there's going to be a long line of angry tweets that come out from that. And more seriously, action motivated by pride or thin skin, whatever it is. I mean, this is the way the world is turning at the moment. These major earth-shaking changes or developments happening because people get offended, their pride is hurt, Politico says German conservatives are preparing to confront European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen with a stark ultimatum. Rein in Brussels control and red tape or face new push to curb the Commission's powers. Germany wants, they want more control. They want to get rid of bureaucracy. They want more power. The push comes as Merz and his governing conservatives face a growing urgency to fulfill their election promises to revive Germany's long struggling economy. All the weights are being removed for the German economy, for the German war machine, for the German-led EU, or the German-led Holy Roman Empire. All the restraints that were in place. All of the, as I said earlier, a lot of them American-led, you know, movements to keep things in check, to keep America involved, to keep America there. They're all being removed. It's a new world order. And when you think about the prophecies that Herbert Armstrong proclaimed for decades, it's electrifying, really. America's going to be squabbling, fighting. I mean, America's going to be engaged in civil war when the whole world finally awakens to see that, wait a second, this is round three. This is World War III, not 111 if you're Ilhan Omar. World War III. And here we're going to be fighting each other. We're going to be screaming about voting rights. We're going to be screaming about election steals. Notice the Democrats, they love that subject, except in 2020. I mean, they put people in jail for even wanting to talk about election steal or exposing it. But here we go again. And you can blame it on, as you heard there in the cold open, the far right Supreme Court. That's what we're going to be fighting about internally. Die by suicide. And then we wake up and think, wait a second. The German war machine is back. Germany's trying to take over the world. Nobody else is going to be proclaiming this except God's church. On Truth Social, the United States is studying and reviewing the possible reduction of troops in Germany with a determination to be made over the next short period of time. So he doesn't say they're completely pulling out, but considering a reduction of troops, again, the primary purpose for keeping those troops there since the end of World War II was basically to keep the American boot on the neck of Germany, to keep Germany down. Remember, Churchill and Roosevelt coming out of World War II. I mean, our purpose here is to make sure that the German war machine never rebuilds itself. It cannot happen. It cannot be militarized. And yet 50, 60, 70 years go by and look at where we are now. Now, we're taking the U.S. military might, or considering removing the U.S. military might out of Germany as a means of punishing Germany. Wow. What would Herbert Armstrong be saying today about these developments? This is Fox News on America possibly withdrawing troops from Germany. Clip two.
More than one-fifth of U.S. active duty troops that are based overseas are based in Germany. And now the president is threatening a drawdown after sparring with German Chancellor Friedrich Merz over Iran. He posted this: the United States is studying and reviewing a possible reduction of troops in Germany with a determination to be made over the next short period of time. His frustration bubbled over on Tuesday when he posted, the Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, thinks it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. He doesn't know what he's talking about. If Iran had a nuclear weapon, the whole world would be held hostage. I'm doing something with Iran right now that other nations or presidents should have done long ago. No wonder Germany is doing so poorly, both economically and otherwise.
And so the back and forth sparring continues. But what happens on the ground, the action that's taken, I mean, that's what's especially significant. Jesus said to watch world events, pray always. I mean, a fifth of America's troops overseas, a fifth of them are in Germany. And here it's right in the heart of Europe. It's perfectly situated for America to maintain some control. And yet, because of this spat, because of tweets, because of public statements, now America is considering pulling out. Why did we have those troops there in the first place? Well, because Germany tried to conquer the world. This is from American Sunrise. It's on Real America's Voice. And they were talking back and forth about this development. And listen to this discussion, clip three.
President Trump posted a Truth Social yesterday saying that he's considering or at least exploring the idea of drawing back troops in Germany, which, of course, is a central hub for military operations throughout Europe. Given Russia's aggressive posture, is this a reasonable idea in your mind?
You know, Terrence, I thought we needed to reduce our force posture in Europe for well over a decade now and have advocated for it for a long time. I think that needs to happen. And it's not because we don't recognize what's going on, but it's simply because there comes a time when you need to bring your people home, focus them here in the United States to train them to do the things that they need to do. A lot of people today go to Europe, and frankly, it's more of a posting that people want because of, you know, the ability to travel Europe more than out of military necessity.
I agree with you. It's a bunch of. We need to close them down, bring them back home. We're done there.
Yeah, I think it's time. NATO's become a political affiliation, less military. And we can have liaisons in these countries, but we don't need large-scale forces there.
Now, this is a pretty conservative platform. That's the show that runs before Steve Bannon's program. And I think the man in the top right, he grew up in as a military son or a son of a military officer in Germany. So he had some reservations. You didn't hear that in the quote, but or the clip. But the others don't. I mean, they're on board with it. No, bring them home. We need to close them down and bring them home. We need an isolationist America. Germany should be left to go it alone, or actually to lead the European empire. President Trump and his administration is making earth-shaking decisions based upon a fight with Mertz, based upon a war of words. It's pretty amazing. How much is the human ego factoring into these prophetic pieces coming into place? Politico had another story. Berlin deepens military ties with Washington while Mertz, Trump rift grows. As I say, our heads are going to be buried deeply in the sand. No, actually, the ties between Germany and America, they've never been stronger. Well, you know better. If you watch this program, I mean, you're reading between the lines. You know what's happening. Germany's embedding a senior U.S. officer deep into its military command structures in a sign of close cooperation that comes despite worsening political ties. I mean, how stupid is this take? Yeah, there's just such close cooperation. The German military, they just love American officers. Oh, yes. There's a tradition of exchange programs with foreign officers in the Bundeswehr, but such deep integration into core command structures is unusual. What are Germany's real motives here? What do you suppose they're really interested in? Help from America? Or maybe spying on America? It says here, the aim, a German army spokesperson said, is to further deepen American German cooperation and optimize joint operational capability within NATO. says Nick Lang, or Nico Lang, a defense expert and former senior official with Germany's defense ministry, said, especially at this stage, an integrated U.S. staff officer is of great value. The truth of it is Germany has no intention, has zero intention of cooperating with the American superpower, with the American military. In fact, Germany, German industry, German leaders behind closed doors, they are applauding the disbanding of NATO. They're applauding President Trump's statement of removing German troops or U.S. troops out of Germany, I should say. The path is cleared for them. Like Revelation 17 says, the Nazis just went underground. And now they're going to reemerge with America's blessing, with American support. Decades, that's the trumpet cover, decades of warnings about Germany. He was right. Herbert Armstrong was right. The world is uniting against America. We played this clip earlier from the Finnish president about where America is vulnerable economically. And, you know, it's not like it's just Finland that sees this. Germany sees this too. Iran sees this. Russia, China, they all see this. They see how vulnerable America really and truly is because of its overwhelming debt, because of its out-of-control spending. That's another thing. We'll hear a lot about, you know, voting rights and spend, 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 and we need more money. We need more social programs. Even as this empire coming out of the heart of Europe fully develops. Listen again to the Finnish president from earlier this week, clip 7.
We do have market power. We sometimes forget that the United States is heavily indebted to the rest of the world, and we are some of their principal creditors, some $21
trillion. Yeah.
That should give us leverage.
Kind of need to unite in this world, and I think that's what we're seeing. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, but, you know, there are two things that are unifying Europe right now more than the Draghi report and the Letta report. One is security pressure coming from Russia. I've never seen us as united as we have been during this war. I mean, even Hungary now. And then pressure coming from the United States. So we're coming together.
We have leverage. We can sink the U.S. economy. And if we get angry enough, we'll happily do it, even if it sinks our economies as well. Herbert Armstrong said the economic crisis would trigger those final developments of that Holy Roman Empire. There's a lot of hatred. The spirit of murder is so strong. The anti-Americanism, the hatred for Jews we often talk about. Where does this come from? Read John 8 and verse 44. Satan is the father of it. If you look at so much of this, or these developments, as I say, to think that it springs from, you know, just a petty offense or some criticism in a public statement or a mean tweet. There's a lot of pride to go around. I mean, here it clears the way for the Holy Roman Empire, and what's the hot take for the Jeroboam administration? No, this actually punishes Germany because we're so powerful. We're too big to fail. Everybody loves America. We're the hottest country in the world. There's this article at, I think it's Real Clear Politics, talking about, I mean, here we are coming into the 250-year celebration. And we're gonna see a lot of people, you know, practically breaking their arms, patting themselves on the back, as we come into this golden age, this religious revival. There's a lot of pride and very little humility. This Real Clear piece says on April 16, 1789, George Washington left the comforts of Mount Vernon to make the trek to our new nation's capital in New York City. 2 weeks later, he was to take the oath of office as our nation's first president. In his journal on that day, He humbly wrote, this is from Washington's journal, "About 10 o'clock, I bade adieu to Mount Vernon, to private life, and to domestic felicity, and with a mind oppressed with more anxious and painful sensations than I have words to express, set out for New York in company with Mr. Thompson and Colonel Humphreys, with the best dispositions to render service to my country in obedience to its call, but with less hope of answering its expectations." This article says Washington was mindful of his limitations and appreciated the burdens of such responsibility. It's a very different mindset than what you see from the modern day politician that has all the answers, that knows he's right, that won't admit error or any mistakes even. And the reason this is so important is because Isaiah 66 in verse 2 says that God looks to those who are humble, poor, and of a contrite spirit, those who tremble at his word, who fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the matter, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Fear God, keep the commandments. The first line of Washington's inauguration speech on April 30th stated the following as he trembled in the Senate chambers of Federal Hall. This is quoting Washington. "Among the vicissitudes incident to life, no event could have filled me with greater anxieties than that of which the notification was transmitted by your order and received on the 14th day of the present month." The article says he went on to admit that he was peculiarly conscious of his own deficiencies. Who says this today? Who says this at their inauguration? I've got a lot of deficiencies. I've made a lot of mistakes. Washington's words consistently demonstrate a man filled with reverent humility as he accepted the mantle of responsibility that came with his new office. This battle-hardened veteran realized that leadership was a weighty burden no single person could shoulder alone. Thus, he entered this leadership position with a spirit of subservience. I'm just a servant. I'm a servant of the people. I'm a servant for the nation. Humility prompts leaders to question their assumptions. It urges leaders to seek outside opinions and lean on wise counsel. It causes leaders to look outward and upward instead of inward. It fosters a reliance on others instead of oneself. It nudges a leader to prioritize relationships. It inspires the elevation of an organization's needs over personal needs. It motivates leaders with the thought that a single leadership shortcoming can cause an organization to stumble. See, what happens when catastrophic decisions are made? And they're billed as, well, this is great. I mean, this helps us. This punishes the other guy. This makes us stronger. I mean, this shows how powerful we are. It shows how hot we are. Humility prevents complacency. It stirs up passions that abhor stagnation. It suppresses self-satisfaction and self-sufficiency. It halts power-hungry careerism and cronyism. It clips the tendency to strive for personal gain. Yes, indeed. That's why every day we need to be clothed in humility. Because it helps us to look to God, to turn to God, to seek God. Psalms 10, verse 4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek God. Now, that's a big problem. That's a huge problem. If we aren't seeking God, I mean, we're on our own. And that's a dangerous position to be in. These six things does the Lord hate. This is Proverbs 6. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. And it starts by saying a proud look. God hates pride. He hates a proud look. He hates a proud countenance. The fear of the eternal is to hate evil. This is Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. How important is humility? We're seeing, as I said, these earth-shaking decisions made because of pride, because of vanity. And that just means it's not going to end well. One final one, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Vanity is just simply one of the great weaknesses of human nature. This is how Lucifer became Satan the devil. He was filled with pride. And he rose up in defiance against God, his maker, his creator. So, I mean, how many case studies are there in history? People, communities, entire nations being destroyed because of pride. It's all, as I said earlier, the perfect storm. America just under siege because of its own internal troubles, trials, struggles, self-inflicted curses, even as we see this war machine building in Europe. When we come back, we can finish today's show with more on that ruling yesterday from the kingdom's court. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Celtic Throne is back on tour this summer. 15 cities, 8 states, one unforgettable experience. Experience this revolutionary new show, an electrifying fusion of Irish dance, music, theatre and cinema. Experience the show audiences worldwide are raving about.
Absolutely fantastic. I've seen the Riverdance and the Lord of the Dance and they were amazing. They blew me away.
Absolutely marvellous, and I've been to see Riverdance about 5 times, and this is amazing, absolutely amazing. I love it.
It's thrilling. It stands at the side of Lord of the Dance and Riverdance, its equal partner.
Absolutely stunning, absolutely incredible. Not in my wildest dream did I think that it could compare to the other shows, but it was amazing, amazing.
My favourite show I've been to ever, and I've been to Riverdance, Lord of the Dance, just my favourite. It was amazing.
Love it. It was amazing. Best experience ever.
Don't miss your opportunity to experience the trailblazing new Irish dance show capturing the hearts of audiences all over the world. Get show and ticket information at CelticThrone.com.
The breaking news that the Supreme Court has struck down a majority black congressional district in Louisiana, weakening a landmark voting rights law's protection against discrimination in redistricting. And
a major Supreme Court ruling today, it could impact the midterms. A justice is ruling that using race in the Louisiana congressional redistricting was unconstitutional.
It's probably one of the most impactful days with an expected decision authored by Justice Alito in the case Louisiana versus Calais, which will deal with race-based congressional redistricting maps. Now, Justice Alito, writing for a court of 6-3, said that this map is unconstitutional. It's a huge opinion.
Supreme Court striking down Louisiana's congressional map and a major victory for Republicans, with President Trump writing on Truth Social, quote, today's 6-3 Supreme Court decision in the case is a big win for equal protection under the law as it returns the Voting Rights Act to its original intent, which was to protect against intentional racial discrimination.
So there you go. The Voting Rights Act to protect minorities, Democrats, as they do, using it to actually discriminate against white districts, basically. And so for the next whatever months, we're going to be hearing about gerrymandering this. We've already heard about it in Texas, in Florida, happened recently in Virginia. The fighting over political power, getting out the vote. We're going to hear about voter suppression. We're going to hear about election steals. This is just to correct the rampant gerrymandering that Democrats have been getting away with for decades now. Says at PJ Media, the Supreme Court just handed down one of the most consequential redistricting decisions in a generation. In a 6-3 ruling in Louisiana versus Calais, the majority held that Louisiana's congressional map, redrawn to include a second majority black district, constitutes an unconstitutional racial gerrymandering under the 15th Amendment. The ruling's immediate implications are huge. As we've previously reported, Republicans could potentially pick up anywhere from 12 to 19 new House seats across the South as states seize the opportunity to redraw maps that were previously constrained by Section 2 requirements. And again, you can dig into the weeds if you like to see why or what injustice was corrected. But you know the way the Democrats are going to read this. It's racist. What did the dear leader say? I think it's in my notes. Here's Obama. Today's Supreme Court decision effectively guts a key pillar of the Voting Rights Act, freeing state legislatures to gerrymandering legislative districts to systematically dilute and weaken the voting power of racial minorities. Oh, yes. Here comes the man that, I mean, he came to heal the division between the races. No, actually, he came to stoke racism, to stoke racial division and strife. He was a master at that. Even as he sounded like an angel of light. Not a lot of angel of light rhetoric in this tweet. It says here, well, he says, so long as they do it under the guise of partisanship rather than explicit racial bias. And it serves as just one more example of how a majority of the current court seems intent on abandoning its vital role in ensuring equal participation in our democracy and protecting the rights of minority groups against majority overreach. So predictable. You know exactly how these radical leftists will respond. Whenever there's a threat to their power, their hold on power, they will scream, bloody murder. It says here, this is from PJ Media as well, Democrats have spent years leaning on majority-minority districts as a structural advantage, a way to pack reliably Democratic voters into safe seats under the cover of civil rights laws, unconstitutionally expanding their majority in Congress. They're the ones violating the Constitution. The court just called that strategy what it always was, using race as the predominant factor in drawing political boundaries. That's why you see in some of these states these crazy-looking districts that look like some kind of a parasite. Instead of just logically being this section of the state, this section, this section, this section, instead you gerrymander it with all these parasites to try to win a seat and to keep it Democrat forever. And finally, the kingdom's court has done something. I mean, this is right out of Amos 7. God is orchestrating this. Forget about the conservative versus liberal, Alito versus Kagan or whatever. This is God fulfilling what Amos 7 says. The court just called the strategy what it always was. I read that. It says further, the left will scream that this is voter suppression. What it actually is the Constitution working as written. You don't get to draw district lines based on skin color and call it justice. And a 6-3 Supreme Court just made that abundantly clear right in time for the 2026 midterms. So they're right. The communist left will scream. They will scream about this. But the bigger takeaway, at least for us, is that God is right. He was right about the kingdom's court. My father said how that court would have a hand in Donald Trump returning to power. And in this case, no doubt, staying in power. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in November. We don't care about projections, what's going to happen in the House or the Senate. We do have a strong opinion, or we did from 2020 to 2024, about Donald Trump returning. And if you watch this show often, you know this. But this is not a program that's politically driven. We watch world events like Jesus said that we should. We observe. It's like I said about the cold open. I mean, so much of this, as significant as it is, God intervening, right? The kingdom's court. At the same time, it's a massive distraction for America. When you have all of these events going on around the world, I mean, America at the moment's at war with the King of the South. And America at the moment is doing everything it can to empower the King of the North. That's amazing. If there's one, I've said it so many times, I'll say it again. If there's one thing that this U.S. president is especially good at, it's at accelerating the prophecies of God. And sometimes just simply because of vanity, just simply because of a personal offense, just simply because of a spat between two world leaders. Earth-shaking decisions being made. Axios says here, Press Robinson, a plaintiff in the case that led to Louisiana's second majority black district, said in a Wednesday press call that he foresees politicians elected by people of color disappearing on the local and state level in the not-too-distant future. We'll be back where we were at the time that slavery was declared illegal in this country, but this country doesn't seem to want to advance beyond that time. Going back to that statement from Obama, if Obama says it or believes it, if it's Obama's position, then 99 times out of 100, the opposite position is much closer to the truth. Charles Taylor, the executive director of the Mississippi NAACP, tells Axios that the decision is a betrayal to black voters with implications up and down the ballot. So it's racism, as if we haven't heard that one before. One final bit, maybe I can lead the program with this tomorrow or sometime next week. But according to the New York Times, about 40% of American adults said in a poll that we're living in the end times. Well, how about that? 40%. You know, they're right. They are right. Maybe we need another booklet. 40%. We're living in the last days. For much of the country, it's an idea that's almost mundane. The rapture is spliced into their Sunday sermons and enchants their world with a fearsome possibility. We'll have to spend some time on the rapture and whether or not that's biblical on a later program. The Trump administration has framed its campaign in Iran as a biblically prophesied holy war. That's according to the Times. They hate Trump, and so they hate religion, they hate the Bible. But we're certainly living in the last days. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.